Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers. Today's conversation is with Jane Garvey, Administrator of the Federal Aviation Administration. And joining me in the conversation is Carolyn Smith, another PwC partner.
Thank you, Paul. Jane, there are a number of management initiatives going on at the FAA, and one of those is called Safer Skies. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Well, yes, I can. Safer Skies is, I think, an extraordinarily important initiative. Aviation is so safe. We have a remarkable record in this country. And in a sense, that makes the issue of safety even more challenging because, in a sense, the low-hanging fruit has already been picked when it comes to safety. So our challenge really is to get at some of the root causes. Our challenge is really to take the resources that we have and focus them in a way that will have the greatest impact. The way we've always approached safety is to sort of look at historical data, if you will, and learn from accidents and so forth. This is really stepping that up even more and saying, let's really establish our agenda based on what the data is telling us. Let's really look at data, both historical data, and even more importantly, let's look at precursors. And let's try to determine where we should put our resources. And we're doing this with industry. It's a new approach, but I think it's absolutely the right approach. We know, for example, from looking at the data that some of the worst accidents or the greatest cause of accident is what they call controlled flight into terrain. And so we have focused in the last 2 years a number of safety initiatives and regulations dealing with that issue. So it is a much more focused way to approach the issue of raising the bar on safety. And I think doing it in a focused way like that is very important, but also doing it with industry is important as well. So I'm very proud of that initiative, and I think it's absolutely the right approach. The great challenge for us in the future is, as I said, to get out ahead of the accidents. And we've entered into a number of voluntary programs with the airlines where pilots, mechanics come forward with information without fear of punishment so that we can gather data that we would not ordinarily have. And we are already beginning to sort of get out ahead of some issues because of the information that they're providing us with.
You mentioned in Safer Skies working with industry, and I wanted to ask about that partnership. What are the lessons learned from forming a partnership, and how do you make a successful one work?
Well, it's not always easy, especially when you're both a regulator and then in some cases a collaborator. So it's a real challenge, and it's a balance that we have to strike, and I think that we're constantly looking at and measuring. There are some wonderful lessons. For example, just again with Safer Skies, we put out a series of airworthiness directives, and they are in a sense almost a regulation, something like a regulation. Because we worked so hard with industry before we developed those ADs, they're called, when we finally put those in the federal registers, there were very, very few comments, very few criticisms, if you will, because people had worked hard on it. There was a sense of collaboration. It's obviously in the airline's interest as well to have the safest possible practices. So I think in one sense, you end up with a much better product. If you look at something like modernization, we have said, look, we've got customers to serve here. It's ultimately the American people, but sort of the retail customer for us are the airlines. And so we want to decide what our agenda is together. In the past, I think the FAA has often taken off after some of the technologies that hasn't proven to be what the industry wanted. So we've said, let's arrive at that agenda together. One great byproduct of it is that Congress tends to fund those where they see industry and government standing together. They tend to fund those programs. And that's borne out for us in the last couple of budgets, where they've seen a kind of constructive collaboration and said, yes, that's the direction that both industry and the FAA want to go. We'll fund those programs.
Jane, one of the biggest challenges facing the FAA, the airlines, and the flying public are flight delays. And the FAA has projected that there will be more than 1 billion passengers per year by 2010. That's a 50% increase in less than a decade. What are some of the initiatives that the FAA is engaged in to try to alleviate this problem?
Well, my sense is we're approaching this the way a number of other managers approach very complex problems, and that is to break it down into pieces. And we're thinking in terms of tactical initiatives that we can undertake in the short term, and then obviously a much longer, much more strategic view. And if I think just for a minute of the tactical issues, we've said, what can we do in the short term to really help alleviate delays? And first and foremost, we identified the real choke point in this country for aviation travel. And no surprise to anyone, it's that triangle from Chicago to Boston down to Washington back up to Chicago again. And it's really that area that presents the greatest challenges for us. So we have focused our energies again in those areas and changed procedures, changed the way that aircraft get in and out of some of those very, very difficult choke points. We've negotiated with NAV Canada to use some of the Canadian airspace off the eastern coast, so that particularly in bad weather. We've negotiated with the Department of Defense, another agency we work with, to use some of the restricted military area when it's not being used. So those are all sort of the kind of tactical things, short-term initiatives that we're undertaking now. Longer term, we are developing what is called a NASA operational plan. It's really the National Airspace Operational Plan. And it essentially lays out in very exquisite detail the responsibilities that the FAA, that the airlines and airports will have over the next 10 years. What are the initiatives we can undertake together? Technology, procedures, airports that are going to be necessary, avionics that airlines will need to equip their aircraft with. So it's a very comprehensive plan that lays out a 10-year strategy. You know, the FAA, and again, not unique to the FAA, very much like NASA and like the Department of Defense in the 80s, tended to take on very large, complex initiatives, and we were going to really hit it out of the park with technology in the 80s. And what the FAA found, again, similar to lessons that I think Dan Golden learned at NASA and the Department of Defense as well, is that sometimes by taking on something so large and complex, you never get it deployed, you never get it implemented. And so we've taken a slightly different approach since 97. We've broken it down into pieces and said, let's approach modernization in a building block fashion. Let's do it step by step. Let's not wait till we have the perfect solution, but let's get the technologies out there. And again, we've done that with the airlines as well. Just one last note on delays. As much, though, as the FAA will do and can do, it will never be enough. Airlines still need to look at their own scheduling practices. Airports need to build runways. So it's really, again, I think another area where it's clear that the solution isn't going to be found by any one entity acting in isolation. It's really got to be coming together.
What's the Free Flight Initiative?
The Free Flight Initiative is a term. It sounds a little bit intimidating, but it's a term that is used to describe the direction that we're heading in modernization. We're really moving much more toward a satellite-based navigation system. And the term free flight refers to the kind of flexibility that a pilot will have under satellite navigation to really choose his or her own routes. So much less the fixed route, which has been the historic way that we've approached those highways in the skies, and a much more sort of flexibility for the pilot to choose the routes that he wants and the routes that can be the most efficient and obviously still very, very safe.
What are the implications of that on the management of the air traffic?
Oh, there are a number of implications. Certainly there's implications in terms of the volume that we talked to, that Carolyn spoke about, the projections that we're seeing. It will be a much more efficient use of airspace. Much more of the airspace will be able to be used. So that's certainly a plus. But I have to say it may also have some implications in terms of the kind of skills that our controllers will need. It will not be the same kind of sort of command and control kinds of skills that the controllers have now. It'll be a different skill set. So it's very exciting. It certainly it's certainly a change for the airlines as well, with the equipment that they'll have to use.
Well, it's time for a break. We'll be back with more of the Business of Government Hour and our conversation with Jane Garvey in just a few minutes.